And it's going to be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Today I'm going to be preaching a sermon titled 1 Thessalonians 2, As It Is in Truth, the Word of God. As It Is in Truth, the Word of God. I looked for a sermon in the family and prayed about it and thought about some things in the family, and I normally would do something like that, but the Lord laid this on my heart. Just the Bible is the Word of God, and so I want to talk about that today and just maybe help you understand that, make it clear. It is certainly something that the devil is attacking right now. What is the Bible? And a lot of things said about it, a lot of untrue things said about it, and I think even Christians get a little confused about that. Oh, the Bible's been added to, it's been changed, it's been corrupted, there's books been taken out of it, and all these things, and it's just some people's thoughts, and we want to get into that today. As it is in truth, the Word of God, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and I'll be on verse 11. As ye know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that you would walk worthy of God. Let me ask you, are you walking worthy of the God who's called you?
Yes,
walk worthy. Who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause also we thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, now listen to this, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God. He says you didn't receive what we taught you from the Bible as the word of men. You received it as it is in truth, the Word of God. That's my sermon, As It Is in Truth, the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Means very effectively and intensely the Bible works inside of you when you believe.
Yeah.
It makes a difference. It does something. It's not just a dusty old book of dry facts. It begins to move inside of you. And so that's what it is in truth, the Word of God. Let's pray. We'll talk about the Word of God as it is in truth. Father, thank you for the chance to preach your Word. Thank you for these good folks who've come today and taken time and filled the room up. And we pray that today, Lord, that our cups would be filled and our spirits, we'd be drawn to you. I pray that lies of the devil would be destroyed. And I pray that we would get faith. I pray that we'd trust in you and your word. I pray, Lord, today that you'd make it clear that the Bible is truly the word of God. We thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for the Bible. What a loss we would be at if we did not have it. Thank you, Lord, for it. And I pray that you'd speak to us through it, and may it do its living, powerful work where it doesn't return void. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible makes some incredible claims about itself. About itself. The Bible makes incredible claims. If it was just a book that said, you know, hey, let me tell you some things about God, that'd be one thing. But the Bible makes claims about itself that make it a false book if it's not the Word of God and not amazing because of what it says about itself. The Bible claims that itself is the Word of God, just like it said right there, as it is in truth, the Word of God. So this book doesn't just say, this is a book about God, or this is a good book, or this is a wonderful idea about history or anything. The Bible takes itself and says, this is the Word of God. These are God's very words.
Amen.
Now, that's a big claim.
Yes.
If somebody wrote a book today that said that, we would say that is a bad book. Who are you to say your words that you wrote in a book are the words of God and are the authority of God? The Bible does that. The Bible calls itself perfect. Psalms chapter 17, chapter 19, verse 7 and 8 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimonies of the Lord are right, making wise the simple. The testimonies of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes. The law of the Lord is perfect, it says. It says it's perfect. This book claims that it is a perfect book. It is God's word and has no errors. That's what that's what it says about itself. The Bible makes other claims. It's it says that if you know it, you are wiser than anybody.
Amen.
If you know the Bible, doesn't matter how you grew up, what you learned about. It doesn't matter what you learned about before. It doesn't matter your IQ. If you know this book, you will be wiser than other people. And I'm going to just, some of these verses I'll quote, some I'll just tell you where it says it, and some I'll actually read, and I'm going to read these verses to you. Through thy commandments thou hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditations. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I was in a situation with a family and older family and aunts and uncles, and in a very it was a little bit uncomfortable situation. It was a very complicated situation with death and finances and everything else, and everyone there began to get a little frustrated and hot about what to do, and I knew what to do in that situation because I knew the Bible. Now, they're smart people. Some of them are very wealthy, very successful, very good businessmen. But this situation required some wisdom that the Word of God would give you.
Yes.
And I find that in life. I might not be smarter than somebody, but if I know the Bible, there are some smart people whose lives are disasters.
Come on now. Thank you, Jesus.
There are some smart people who do not know what they're doing. There are some smart people whose kids are wrecks because they do not know what the Bible says about how to raise kids. And they mean well, and they want to, but they just, I don't know what to do. Why? Because this book will make you smarter and make you wiser and make you more know what to do in life and how to handle things in life, how to deal with things that you don't that you do not know how to deal with otherwise. This Bible says is incorruptible. It says you are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the incorruptible, with this incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The Bible says it's not corruptible. Understand that for a sec. This book says it is impossible for you to corrupt it and make it not true. It's not possible. It's incorruptible because it's the Word of God. I'll explain how that's true a little bit later. This book says it's necessary for eternal life. You're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but the precious Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. The Bible says it can tell you how to get to heaven.
Come on.
Without any exception, without any doubt, it'll give you an exact, you do this, this, this is the way you get to heaven. By the way, it's not by living a good life. That's not the Word of God. That's the Word of man. And it tells you exactly how to get eternal life. It says it's more important than your food, than your drink, than gold. That's what it says. I've esteemed thy more words more precious to me than gold, yea, than much fine gold. It says, I find thy testimonies more important, more precious to me than my daily provisions. More than you need a house, more than you need food, more than you need to eat or drink today, the Bible is more important than all those things. That's a big claim. It says that if you follow it, you will succeed and have an unshakable foundation. It says, if you meditate in the Word of God, whatsoever thou doest shall prosper. It says, for then shalt thou have good success, and then shall thy way be made prosperous. If you'll meditate in the Word of God, it will bring blessings and make your way work out, make your life work out. That's a big claim for a book. That's a big claim for a book. It says that you will know the answers to life and eternity. It says, Matthew 7:25, if a man hears my words and keeps my sayings, I'll liken him to a man who builds his house upon a rock. And the storms come and the winds blow, but the house on the rock stands firm.
Right.
Because that's the Bible says, it is a rock which you can build your life on and you will never be shook.
Thank you, Lord.
And that's what some claims the Bible makes, some things. Not only does the Bible make those claims about it, but the Lord thinks very highly of the Bible. Matter of fact, an amazing thing that you should understand is God claims his word. He names his son the Word of God.
Come
on. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So he said, the Word of God is so important to me that I'm calling my son the Word of God. He embodies the Scripture. The Scripture is the Word of God, and my son is the Word.
Yes.
And so he equates the Bible with Jesus Christ.
Yes.
That is how highly he thinks of it. He calls Jesus the Word. The longest chapter in the entire Bible by far. The Bible's got, I think there are about 1,200 chapters in the Bible. In the Bible, with all those 1,200 chapters, by far the longest chapter in the entire Bible is Psalms 119. It's 176 verses, way longer. The average chapter is probably about 28, 30 verses. It's 176 verses. Every single verse in that Bible, it's A to Z. It starts in the Hebrew alphabet and starts with her A and goes and has a poem for the A's and the B's and the C's, all the way through all the letters of the Hebrew alphabet, every verse praising the Scripture. The longest chapter in the Bible is all praising the Scripture because God thinks very highly of the Bible. It is the Lord's way to make himself clear to us. For example, the Bible says this, these things have I written unto you. I've written this for you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. He says, I'm going to write it real easy in one verse. If you will do this, you will have eternal life. I'm writing this to give you a way. If you were God, you would just stop for a sec. You love mankind. You want to bring them a message. How would you do it? Well, let's say you said, well, I'll just come down and talk to him directly. Okay? A couple things. What would you do in ancient history? You'd come down to man. Okay, what happens when 200 years later that person is told, the next person is told, the next person, and it's changed? Because verbal traditions always get changed over time. It takes one or two words difference. We used to do an experiment in the youth group when he started one end, and a guy would give one person a sentence at the start on one end, and he'd whisper in his ear, and he would say, John picked up a shovel and dug a hole. And then he'd whisper at the next person's ear, and he'd whisper at a big circle. By the time it got to the end, it was Mary sat on a duck and it died. I mean, it just totally changes throughout the story because they miss a bunch of words, and they change the words, and they got the whole thing wrong. It would change over time. You can make sounds come out of the air, by the way, that sound like God. You would go, and what God did, he said, I'm going to write my instructions down to mankind in a book. And I'm going to make that book be preserved forever. And so he began to do that, and he would send that book to us. And the logic is the Lord wanted a permanent, clear record for all generations that they would have. You could just read it and say, this is what God wants. And can I tell you this? You can read this book right here and find out exactly what God wants. You can find the way to heaven. You can find the way to have a family. You can find a way to do your finances. You can find a way to love. You can find a way to deal with drug problems. You can find a way to deal with your anger problem. You can find a way to deal with somebody dying of cancer. And you can find a way to deal with anything in life. You just got to read the Bible. Everything in the Bible, it's there. God knew what man had faced. God knew what man had struggled with. And God knew what they would need. So he wrote it down. Here's how to have peace. For Philippians 4 tells you, here's how to have peace. Here's how to keep your mind solid, Philippians 4 says. I'll tell you how to keep your mind. I'll give you peace of mind. Here's how to get a joy that no man can take from you. Here's how to love your enemy. Here's how to deal with an anger problem. Here's how to deal with bitterness. Here's how to deal when you don't know what to do. The Bible gives you every answer. If you haven't, you said, I don't know where that, I never didn't know the Bible had an answer for that. If you study it, you'll find the answers for everything in life. It's got the answers, and they work. And God gave us that record because he loves us. And let me just give you a few points in the Bible, why we know it's the Word of God and how we know it's the Word of God. Number one, the Lord had man copy his word from heaven. The Lord had man copy his word from heaven. I want to illustrate this to you because I want to make it clear exactly how God does this. All right. So, Jess, come on up here. All right. So, Jess is going to be a apostle, let's say, and he's going to write scripture. You got a pen on you? There you go. Okay. So, you ready? I'm God. I want to give a message to mankind. And let's see. I want to get a message to Ron. And Ron's going to die someday, and then I want to get that message down to Michael. And Michael's going to die someday, and I want to get that message to Rich. And then Rich is going to die someday, and I want to get that message. I want Rich to have the message just as much as I wanted Ron to have it, just as much as I want Jimmy to have it in the back. So I'm going to say, okay, here's what I want you to write. You ready? For God so loved the world that he gave his only, probably not the next part, begotten son. That'll be enough for now. Okay? Good. Now he dies. But this is very important that I get this to every generation. And God said, he wants his word to every generation. I'll read you a lot of verses that say that. He cares about you as much as he cared about the people in the second century. The Bible says the word of God came not by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they are moved by the Holy Ghost. So John, when he wrote John 3:16, was told to write by God. But listen, the Bible says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I'm sitting here as God, and I have the original copy in heaven. And I tell him what to write, and if he makes a mistake, I correct it. And I say, no, I didn't say that. You write it like this. However, I've got to get it back even though he dies. So I'm going to go with it. And it travels along, and it comes to Travis here. And Travis tries to change it. And I take it from him, and I pull out my knife. No, I won't do it. And I say, you cannot change my word. And even, let's say, he messes it up. All right, you got a pen on you? You've got a pen. There you go. Okay, scratch out a word. Oh, don't do that. That's my word. You know what? I've got somebody else over here. Ready? Write the word begotten right there. That's the word begotten. B-E-G, I think. There we go. Begotten. Good. Okay. Because I'm going to keep my word. The words of the Lord are purified, pure words, Psalms 126, 5 and 6. As a silver tried in a furnace, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. God says, I will keep my word. I don't trust man.
That's right.
So, I got the right version here. All right. So, Ron, you got the word of God. Awesome. And I'm going to make sure it stays here. Because guess what? Man kept disappearing and dying. And man's been here and come and gone. But I was standing there watching my word. You try to corrupt it, I kill you. And then I go along with it. Read that there.
Really read it?
Read it.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son.
Okay, good. And I care about this generation here, so I'm going to stay with it because I don't want man to corrupt it. And by the way, man's tried to corrupt it, but I stay with it. You got it written. You got the word of God there, don't you? You can be saved. I love you so much that I gave my only begotten son. And it goes on. It gets all the way to back here. Gets to Jimmy, gets to Ryan, and it goes all the way. Why? Because God loves you and wants you to have his word. And God said, I'm going to write my word in mankind. So men, when they're writing the Bible, God used men to pen the Bible, but he told them what to write. I sometimes dictate a letter, and I say, can you type this letter out? And I will say, write a letter to Christy and say, boy, I'm so proud of how you've been so faithful to church, and you're such a blessing in the way you listen to the messages. Now, somebody else types it out. But whose word is it? It's mine. God told man what to write. They penned it, and then God stayed with it. And God wrote the Bible. And he showed himself that he could do that. The Bible says all scriptures given by inspiration of God. Inspiration, the word inspiration means God breathed. The word inspire means from the breath of God. All scriptures given right out of the breath, out of the mouth of God, God breathed it. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished into all good works. God said, I wrote it. The scripture of old time came not by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they are moved by the Holy Ghost. And it says it's a more sure word of prophecy than a voice from heaven. That's what 1 Peter 1 says. It says you could hear a voice from heaven from God. You could literally hear, 2 Peter 1, you can literally hear a voice from heaven and say, this is the word of God. It is not more sure than the Bible. Somebody could have a speaker above your head. Yet the word of God, God says, I will write it, I will keep it, I will preserve it, so you will always have my instructions. God did not say, you know what, I really need to have instructions. You know what, I can't figure out how to get a message to them. And you know what, in the 21st century, that's never going to last that long. Boy, that's a bad plan, I don't know. This is the best I can do, though. Here, write it down, Paul, and if it gets there, it gets there. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. God said, you've got to have every word I write. So I'm going to write it exactly word for word, tell a man what to write, and I will not let him corrupt it. It's incorruptible. I will put a shield around it so it cannot be ruined, so every generation can have the word of God all the way to the end of time. And by the way, it's amazing that some Christians don't believe God's preserved his word when God promises over 100 times, 126 times, I believe it is, God says, I will preserve my word forever. Yes. The grass fadeth and the flowers thereof falleth away, but the words of our God shall stand forever. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Not one jot nor tittle shall pass from the law till all be fulfilled. The smallest dot on an I in the Bible will never pass away until everything's gone.
Come on now. Thank you, Jesus.
He says, I'm going to write the word and I'm going to keep it around because I need mankind to have it. They need my Bible and I've got to have them to do it. Number one, the Lord had men copy his word from heaven. The original copy is still there and it's never changed. Then he preserved it, just like he said he would. Now, proof of this, real simple. Book of Isaiah, written 600 BC. Book of Daniel, written about the same time frame, 600 BC, and then it was written in Hebrew. Now, understand in the translate in the Bible, there's a myth here, and I want to make sure you understand.